someone who's having a great weekend, and that is a senior writer for MLB.com. We've had him on numerous times. He knows everything about what's going on with baseball. And he's in Cooperstown to cover one of the great induction weekends, I think, in the history of Cooperstown. And that's Barry Bloom. Barry, how are you today?
Hey, Barry.
Good, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. So I know you're there. The estimate of people in Cooperstown this weekend, did you ever get it?
Yeah, it was 48,000.
That's a lot.
That's a record, right? They've never had that many.
No, it's the third highest because they had 75 for Ripken and Gwynn in 2007, and they had 50 for Brett, Yamp, and Ryan in 1999. So it's close to it, but not quite.
Okay. Put that into some perspective for people listening. I mean, we're sitting here in San Francisco. People are coming to the ballpark. 42,000 will be sitting here in a very nice area. What is 48,000 in Cooperstown? What does that look like?
Well, you have like a red brick building called the Clark Sports Center, which is sort of set in front of a meadow. And there's a meadow that stretches beyond it, kind of like a Woodstock type thing. And the more people that come, the further out in the meadow and the more to the sides they are. And then last year there was like 2,000 people. And, you know, basically on a regular induction, they get like 10 to 12,000 people. So essentially, if you took everybody in AT&T Park today and then added another 6,000 and stretched them out from one end of the bay to the other, you pretty much have it.
Wow. And but Cooperstown, the city, it's a village itself. I mean, you can hardly move around. But it was always interesting to me on this weekend that you'd see some of the renegades of baseball would come in and sign autographs and make some money. And people who aren't in the Hall of Fame, they show up because it's a great time to make some dough. So who have you run into there?
Well, of course, you know, the renegade of all renegades is Pete Rose. And he was here in the shop that he usually signs in. And, you know, he was here all weekend. So it's sort of like I went in to say hello and essentially said, just here we are again, another Hall of Fame weekend. And, you know, that's his presence in Cooperstown. But aside from that, though, it's pretty much the general collection of, you know, Hall of Famers who are here. And aside from the six who were inducted today, there were 44 other living Hall of Famers who were on the stage. So it was a nice showing, and, you know, what Larissa said about it was that, you know, you turn the corner and you look at the crowd, and it's like what I said. It's like the greatest rock concert you've ever been to.
Well, amazing. Of the speeches you heard, did one stand out above the others today?
Well, there was some interesting. I mean, they were all supposed to keep the speeches to about 10 minutes. And Maddox and Cox did it pretty much hit it right on the head. La Russa and Thomas went a little long. And Torrey went like 29 minutes and then forgot to mention George Steinbrenner, thank him in the speech, and came into his press conference crestfallen that he had done that. He was really devastated that he had missed this. You know, Thomas cried throughout his speech. His mother was sitting in the front section. And he just started looking at her through the whole speech, which was essentially just a list of people to thank. He didn't say anything in the speech. He mentioned hundreds of names from every team he worked for, every college, from his college, from his family. And that was the whole thing with Thomas. But that was the most emotional of the speeches, even though Thomas really didn't have much to say except thanking the people who got him here.
Yeah, amazing. Those are amazing moments, and you describe it well, Barry Bloom of MLB.com. Also this weekend, they announced some new regulations for the voting, which I think I'd love to have you comment on about the number of years someone is now on the ballot and why they did this and what is the effect of it.
Well, basically, their take on it was they were trying to streamline the process. They're saying that over the course of the years, only 13 people have gotten in after the 10th year to 15. So this really didn't affect that many people, I suppose. And they shot it down when asked that this is a way of getting the steroid guys off the ballot a little faster, so that this thing doesn't fester with all these guys on for 15 years now. Either you're on in 10 or you're not, and then you're going to be reviewed by a committee that meets only 3 years, every 3 years, whether or not you even get on their ballot for a vote, which I suspect that most are not. So, I mean, what I think is that, you know, particularly it's going to affect McGuire, who's in his ninth year, and if he doesn't get elected in either 9 or 10, he's gone, and he'll be gone for good because he's not getting in on one of the veterans committees.
Wow. And also the registration now of writers, there's some formal form you have to go through before you do your ballot?
Yeah, well, this is kind of like the Dan Lebatard death penalty rule, where, you know, you can't give away your ballot, and now there's going to be an internet registration for your ballot, which specifies that, you know, you can't give it up. And Lebatard had his baseball writer's card suspended for a year and his Hall of Fame vote suspended for perpetuity. And that's the penalty that anybody's going to get at this point. And it's full notice that this is going to happen, where, you know, before it was just left up to people's individual devices and their own integrity and ethics not to do it. And now it's been spelled out. But I don't think that's a bad thing.
Hey, Barry, Patrick Connor here. I just wanted to get back to just the Hall of Fame stuff in terms of the inductees today, and I was watching Bob Costas talk to the three skippers, Bobby Cox, Tony La Russa, and Joe Torre. And as I was watching that, I said to myself, you think we'll see Bruce Bochy get enshrined one day? And maybe outside of San Francisco, he's a little undervalued. What do you think, Barry?
We've been talking about this quite a bit. You know, who are the managers who might be in the future Hall of Famers, and certainly I think Bochy's name has to be mentioned among them. I mean, really, his career hasn't played itself out. It certainly, he could win again with the Giants. Certainly, he's going to climb up the all-time win list, you know, if he sticks around. He's not that old, and if he sticks around as long as these guys, he could pass him on the all-time list. So, I mean, if you're looking at, you know, a career that could play itself out the way these guys have played itself out, I think Bochy certainly is a good choice.
Yeah, that'd be good. Marty, Bruce Bochy.
That's great. Well, I walked in with him today. It was interesting. I almost wanted to say, well, win another World Series, I'll see you there. But, you know, he heard Bobby Cox's speech.
I've been busting his chops about this since we were on the field in Detroit during the World Series in 2012. And I kept telling him, you know, the Giants were up like 2-0, 3-0, and are going, well, if you win this one, you're definitely going into the Hall of Fame. And he was like, I don't want to hear that, Barry. Come on. That's a, you know, a bunch of curse words. And, you know, I don't, none of these guys really want to hear this stuff until, you know, they get to the point where it's a possibility, and then they get elected.
Cool. Hey, Barry, thank you. How was the weather, by the way?
Actually, it turned out to be a spectacular day. There was a thunderstorm in the morning, and then it cleared up, and the weather was gorgeous.
Boy, idyllic, huh?
Yeah, and Barry, one more thought is, in terms of the fans there for the enshrinement, who did they rep the most for? Was it Greg Maddux fans? Because that's what they were saying on MLB Network this morning. Did you see a lot of Greg Maddux fans out there, or were the Yankees rep harder? What'd you see?
You know, there were a lot of Atlanta fans here, a lot of Chicago, certainly with New York. There's a great contingent of Yankee fans up here. A lot of, I think, people drove up from the city today. You know, it's kind of like a walk-up crowd because there was no place to stay up here. So I'm mentioning that when the weather was good, the crowd swelled today, and people just came up in the morning and drove up. It's only like a 3 or 4 hour drive from the city, depending on which way you go. So I think it was equally distributed, but probably more leaning towards the Yankees.
All right. Hey, Barry, thanks so much. Have a safe trip back, and we'll talk to you shortly.
Thanks, Barry.
Okay, Marty. Thanks for having me on, you guys. Bye-bye.
My pleasure. MLB.com. Barry Bloom, you read that stuff, and, you know, he's right there. Very good.